I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to look at a few verses about Enoch. In Genesis 5:21, verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he lived, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I had an interesting experience while I was in Myrtle Beach. I found out Enoch was a barber. Enoch cut hair. And I didn't find it in the scriptures, but I was in the grocery store picking up some eggs and milk. And it was astonishing. I asked the fellow there bagging groceries, I said, "You know where there's a good barber shop?" He says, "Enoch's barber shop." So that's how I found out Enoch cut hair. So I went down to the barber shop. I walked in, and the fella said, "Can I help you?" I said, "If you can cut hair, I believe you, we can, you know, you can help me." So as he was cutting my hair, I said, "You know, I was reading about your barber shop this morning." He said, "Really?" I said, "Well, a fella down at the food line said that you had a good barber shop," and I said, "I was reading about the fellow who owns this place in the Bible. Or I was reading about him," and he said, and then that's when he said, "In the Bible," and I said, "You're right. I was reading that in my devotions this morning." So I had a witness to the barber. We didn't talk about spiritual things, but one thing he did, he thought about the Word of God that morning and about Enoch. And Enoch is unusual in the fact that he is found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He is one of the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses to you and to me, to encourage us in these last days. And it says that Enoch walked with God after Methuselah. Something happened to Enoch when this man, Methuselah, came into his life. Of course, he was his son, but it changed his life. Now, the word Enoch means to be narrow, to be initiated or disciplined. It's also meaning to be dedicated. These are reflections of the character, I believe, of Enoch. He was a dedicated, disciplined child of God. I don't think he was that way before Methuselah. But anyway, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. The word walk is interesting in that it means to access, to accompany, to be conversant, to be at ease, to be exercised, to follow, to grow, to be at the point. And I think that reflects upon our need and to walk with the Lord. We need to learn how to be accessible. God's accessible to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He needs to be accessible to our lives as well. He needs to accompany us. We need to know that He is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we need to know that we can be at ease with Him. And particularly if we are conversing with Him. If we're confessing our sins, we know that we can be at ease because our sins are cleansed. There's no reason for us to be ashamed of our behavior. When I think of walking, I think of 1 John 1:7, where it tells us if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. So fellowship means cleansing. Fellowship means leadership in our life by the Lord. Amos 3:3 tells us something that we need to understand. Can two walk together except they agree? That's one thing that we need to do in our life. We need to agree that what His plans, His purpose, His statutes are right. We don't need to argue with the Lord. And we are prone to do that, aren't we? Lord, why this? Lord, why that? And last night I laid down in bed and immediately I started coughing. I had a coughing spit. Gene said, bye. We got more than one bed in our house. She said, bye. So I went over in the other bedroom and I was over going hack, 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 cough, cough, cough. And I said, Lord, you know that I need some sleep. And I just said, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And it wasn't long, I was sound asleep. So, but anyway, the two of us need to walk together and we need to submit to Him. His will should be very important to us and we need to agree with Him. Isaiah 40 tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I'm past all this mounting up with wings as eagles and running. I can't do that anymore. But I can walk and not faint. I think one of the things that we can see in the life of Enoch is that he didn't faint. He lived 65 years, he had Methuselah, and he lived 300 years faithfully with the Lord. And I was just thinking about the fact that Methuselah affected the life of Enoch. Can you reflect upon those in your life that have affected your life? Sometimes those in our past have affected us for evil. But there are those that have affected us for good. And I reflect upon that in my own life. My pastor, a pastor friend, a buddy in the Navy, my mother, others that have touched my life. But I was just thinking about after Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. After Barnabas, John Mark was profitable unto Moses. He wrote the book of Mark. After Paul, Timothy was like-minded with Paul. And Timothy wasn't the last one that we could say after Paul. I mean, the list goes on. And I think that we can include Paul in our own life, can't we? After Paul's epistles and his message to our hearts and lives, it has changed us. I know it has changed me. The word Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. I think that this was probably the message that Enoch got, was the fact that there was judgment coming upon the earth. And we know that in Jude chapter 1, or Jude verses 14 and 15, it tells us that Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Enoch knew that. And I think as we look at the life of Enoch and what happened, particularly in the life of Noah, I see that God took Enoch before the time of Noah, which was a time of tribulation, where God destroyed the earth or judged the earth because of its wickedness. During the tribulation period, which seems to be soon at hand, there will become grave judgments here upon the earth. And these judgments are going to cause men to be killed. And in Revelation chapter 9, it says, And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that is, the things that they worship, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Judgment is coming, yet men are not going to change. But yet, God spared Enoch this judgment. Enoch did not go through the flood. Noah went through the flood. He was spared as he went through the flood and the judgments of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. One other thing that I want to mention too is the fact it says that Enoch walked with God. That was also said of Noah. Noah was another man who walked with God. Yet God did not take Noah. God had other plans for Noah. Noah ministered during the time of the trouble, Jacob's trouble, if you want to put it that way, the tribulation period. But anyway, we find that by faith, Enoch was a man of faith, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. I think that's one of the witnesses that we need to have today, is that Enoch pleased God. How can we please God? That's what we're here for. We're not here to do our own thing. We're here to please God. We're here to put God first. And I thought it would be profitable for us to look at how we can please God. By the way, Enoch being translated means that he was caught up. We always say the oldest man that ever lived was Methuselah. Well, that's not true. Enoch's the oldest man. He has never died. He is still in heaven alive in his body of flesh and bones and blood. But Methuselah died 969 years, a year before the flood began. But we know that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and we shall be changed. And then we will be caught up together with him in the clouds. But until that happens, we need to be watching and praying that we enter not into temptation. What temptation? The temptation not to please God. The temptation to turn away from the Lord, to drift away from the things of God. And let me tell you, beloved, it's easy to do. I mean, you just go on the beach. You know, it was just practically an R-rated area on the beach. Wasn't anybody naked on the beach, but they weren't far from it. You know, people having fun, trying to forget their problems. The peace of God is not ruling in their hearts because they are looking for entertainment and ways of escape. Now, how can we please God? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. The word please is also translated and can be translated well-pleasing. Trusting God is something that pleases Him. You know, when you get married, you expect your wife to trust you, or to trust you to behave, and you expect her you trust her to do the same thing. And it's well-pleasing when both partners are doing that. It's when people cheat that cause anguish and distrust and hatred and bitterness. But God is pleased when we can trust Him. It pleases Him to know that we can trust Him for our every need. One of the things that God is doing for us right now in Hebrews 13:21, it says that the Lord make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. God is helping us to do that. Isn't that something? He is helping us. He is working in us. This word to make means to mend. It's an intricate process. It's a time-consuming process to help us to come to the point where we can confidently walk with God and be pleasing to Him. It's not instantaneous. And people fail. Enoch failed. We all fail. It's just one day that Mrs. Enoch had Methuselah, and the next day Enoch was on top. No. Enoch failed too. But he maintained that fellowship. He maintained that walk. And we need to be adamant about doing that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8, and also in verses 10 and 11, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. proving what is acceptable. The word acceptable is the same word that we've been looking at. Prove what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. How do we prove what is well-pleasing to the Lord? It's through the Word of God. That's the reason why when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can prove those things that are well-pleasing to Him, because the Word of God is giving us counsel and wisdom and insight into the ways that please Him. How do we find out how to please our mate? By coming around once a week, or once, or two or three times a year, like, you know, Christmas and Easter. Why, no, you couldn't learn at all how to please your mate if you only saw him twice a year, right? You got to spend time finding out whether, you know, Jean said she didn't like burnt toast this morning, so I ate the burnt toast. She doesn't like burnt toast. And so forth. Well, you learn things by being together and fellowship together. And that's the way it is with the Lord. And so we need to prove what is acceptable. And how do you do that? Well, I handed her the burnt toast. I proved that that's not what pleases her, is burnt toast. Sometimes she'll take it. But anyway, we take turns. Anyway, we need to prove what is acceptable or well-pleasing to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If we get in the dark, we need to get out of the dark and get in the light and begin to prove what is pleasing to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think that if we're going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, we're going to have to sacrifice some things. We're going to have to sacrifice things that we might enjoy doing. And one of the things is our bodies need to be living sacrifices. The Lord says to do this, we go do it. And if it's not very comfortable, we still do it. Anyway, living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Sacrifice means we give up things. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. And so we need to appreciate the fact that if we're going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, it's going to cost us something. That's what I think that this is telling us. And for us to be willing for it to cost us something, we have to change our thoughts. We have to renew our thinking. We need to transform by the renewing of our minds. And this comes through the Word of God. Also, being well-pleasing to the Lord is serving in peace and joy. In Romans 14, verses 17 and 18, it says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is well-pleasing to God and approved of men. It's not eat or drink. It's not ministering to the flesh. It's righteousness. That's being clean and separate and being obedient to the Lord. Peace. What does the Scriptures teach us? Be anxious for nothing. We wring our hands over the slightest noise in a dark room, don't we, sometimes? When you're in a strange room or a strange house, it's got its own noises, doesn't it? Well, we stayed in a couple of places while we were away, and it has its strange noises, and it wakes you up, and you wonder what it is. You know, wonder what it is. I can still remember to this day tutoring a fellow from trigonometry, from a fellow from from the Philippines. And as a student in college where I was on the faculty. And he was telling me how some of the characteristics of demons, they like to knock. Well, we just moved into a new house. And that night, I began to hear things in that house I hadn't heard before. Well, the demons had all moved out when we moved in. But anyway, the point is this, you know, it's you can get pretty anxious and you can get pretty wide awake when you hear we had a draft furnace, you know, we had coal and had an auger down there. And of course, I knew what the auger was, but, you know, when it heated up, it would knock. So, get a little anxious, but you need to have peace. The peace of God that rules in your heart. We need to have joy in the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? It's our strength. Confidence in the Lord. And if we will serve God this way, it is well pleasing to Him. Hebrews 12:28 tells us that we need to have grace whereby we can serve God well pleasing. What does it mean to have grace? To have grace means that we have the power of Christ in doing His work. We're not doing His work in our own strength. You know, when you do things in your own strength and power, you know what you're creating? Wood, hay, and stubble. And those are the things that will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. We need the power of Christ in our life. When I came this morning, or before I came this morning, I said, Lord, I need Your grace this morning. Why do I need His grace this morning? To deliver this message in His strength and in His power. Not in my own strength and power. Another thing that is well-pleasing to the Lord is giving. Sharing with others. And Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says, I desire fruit that will abound to your account. And he says, I have all and abound and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Giving, particularly to those in the ministry. And it's things. It's not necessarily money. You know, it doesn't have to be money. It could be just a word of encouragement, a pat on the back, a hug. What do we need, hon? A jar of what? No. I know what she needs. She needs a recipe on what is that recipe on pickled zucchini. She needs a recipe for zucchini relish, sweet zucchini relish. Anyway, that would be a blessing, and that could be a sweet smelling savor. Also, not only giving, but also giving of thanks. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 15 and 16, it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. Did you know that that's well-pleasing to Him? Just praising the Lord. Giving thanks unto Him. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Well, this has to do with other people, sharing with other people. For with such sacrifices, plural, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I believe Enoch did these things. That was his lifestyle. But let me just give this warning. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now that's not talking about people who are alive and in the flesh. This is talking about people who are living in the lust of the flesh. You can't please God when you're satisfying fleshly desires. And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 give us plainly the sins of the flesh. Let me just read those. I didn't put them in our notes this morning. A little long. But it says in Galatians 3:5 and verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." These are all things that the flesh likes to do. The flesh likes these things. It's not hard for the flesh to do these things. And we can get caught up in these things. And let me tell you, it affects our inheritance. "They that do such things shall not inherit life of the age." They will not rule and reign with Christ in the coming kingdom. Now, we need to be careful about living in the flesh. And darkness contributes to living in the flesh. If we walk in darkness, what are we ministering to? The things of the flesh. We need to get back into fellowship, get back in the light, get back in the Word. That's important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Wherefore we labor." And that word labor means to aspire, to have ambition, that whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing to Him. You know, we need to work on our attitude. We need to have an ambition. We need to have a great desire to please Him. And one of those things is not only our reward, not only honor and glory, but also the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10 tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We'll receive reward for the good, and we will receive disapproval, whatever the extent of the disapproval for misbehaving or not living for the Lord. So, Enoch is a cloud, one of the clouds of witnesses for us. In Hebrews 12:1 it says, "Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin," singular. The sin, I believe, is the sin of lawlessness, "which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." One of the things that I rejoice in, the fact that Enoch ran his race patiently for 300 years. You know what? We don't have to run that long. We may not have to run 3 more hours or 3 more days or 3 more months. I do believe the coming of the Lord is at hand. The Waggies may never see California again from an earthly perspective. Cal and Betty may never see Louisville, Kentucky, or hear any picking and grinning, or gospel singing down there in Louisville, Kentucky. You know why? The Lord may be back anytime. And it suits me. We may never go to Myrtle Beach again. We may never go to South Carolina or Texas or Boston or wherever. The Lord's coming is at hand. And you know what? We need to take the counsel of Enoch. He walked with God, and he pleased him. And God took him. I want God to take me. And then I want God to use me in his kingdom as a Lord or as a king or whatever capacity he has for me. I want to enter into that with joy and rejoicing, hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, we just thank you for the testimony of Enoch. You translated him. You delivered him. To show us, Lord, that it's important for us to please you and to walk with you. And Lord, in particular in this day, we know, Lord, that we're living in the time of corruption and evil and wickedness that is exceeding, and violence is on every hand. We have witnessed this over and over again in the news. Lord, help us to be looking up. We know that our redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, help us to be where we can be like Methuselah. That when we touch someone else's life, they will begin to walk like Enoch, walking with you, and fellowshipping with you, and that his life would not be the same. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.